Hey, hello.
It's fun.
Mark had been working A Course in Miracles like his life depended on it. What a coincidence.
So lesson 30, I think it is, God is in everything that I see because God is in my mind.
Yes.
And the one before that is God is in everything I see. So you can just use that one. But
yeah.
So I was doing it and just, you know, going about the day using an app that reminded me. And then about halfway through, I went, wait a minute. You know, how do I relate to this God concept?
Okay.
What does that mean?
Okay.
God, what is it? You know, and I started to really think about it, and I couldn't come up with any answer other than I've done meditation before, and I can drop into a place where I have this sense of I can let go of my thoughts and get into a state of mind that's very neutral.
Yes.
And then thinking about the rest of the world, you know, God from that point of view. So if there was a God,
mm-hmm.
it may be something like that. But I get into very dangerous territory when I start to think about it.
Yes.
And if I don't think about it, then I have no reference point because I was not brought up in a religious family.
Yeah.
And I've never believed in God.
Yeah.
To me, it's like thinking about, you know, Peter Pan.
Uh-huh.
You know, it would be like saying, you know, now you're going to believe in Peter Pan.
Uh-huh.
And I go, okay. Can I do that?
That's a great example because nobody knows what Peter Pan's favorite color is. Nobody knows much about Peter
green.
Pan.
Lost.
Green. He's stuck with green. But do you really know?
Yeah,
right. Is he complaining through his life that he has one outfit to wear only? I've never seen him in anything else.
Yeah.
Nobody knows about God. Nobody knows about Peter Pan.
Yeah.
From that kind of, at that kind of view. Very good.
Yeah. So, you know, so the my only reference point about God is what I think I know about God, which is nothing. But what I've been told about God is it's either, you know, a being, some, you know, force of energy. That's what my mother used to say, is like, God is a force of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else, you know? And all I can do is just come up with these concepts that I was taught, and I have absolutely no reference point, like a real reference point to what God is.
Yes.
Like some people say that they can feel God, or they experience God, you know, when they pray, and I don't have that.
Yes, excellent. Well, I would consider you, in a way, fortunate,
mm-hmm.
because for perhaps the rest of us, we have this preconceived notion of God that it would be blasphemous to let go of. You don't have that barrier. We are all in the same place you are, including the, you know, devout Catholic priest that I studied under when I was a kid. We're all in the same boat as you, in that we don't have a solid picture of God. So there have been idols made to try to satisfy that very human hunger, to have a picture, to have a statue, to have something you can call God. Well, thank goodness, of Course in Miracles, there is no image of God. There are no characteristics of God where you could say to anybody else what God is. What God is. Thank goodness. I struggled a lot of years. Hi, new girl.
Hi, I'm actually a friend of Pam's.
Were you here last week?
Not last week, but a couple
weeks ago?
Okay,
welcome back.
Thank you.
And so, Course in Miracles goes with this. God is and then we full cease stop. To speak. Full stop. That's it. That's right. God is, and then we cease to speak. In fact, when Helen was receiving the, starting to get the itch and the, you know, to write this thing, she had a vision before the voice came. It was a vision of her in a cave, and she found some scrolls, and she dusted them off, and she put the scroll down, and she started to open the scroll in this vision. And it said, and she knew that the past was on the left scroll, and the future was on the right scroll. She knew this. She knew what was on the contents of that scroll. And as she started to unroll it, it said, God is in the middle. And then she rolled it closed. And the voice later told her, that was actually the permission that you needed. That was your test, that it was time for you to scribe A Course in Miracles. Because the only thing we can say with words now, right, before we cease to speak, about God, in fact, it's true about love as well,
yeah,
is that it is. We say that with confidence. As long as you can do a full stop, you can say it with perfect confidence.
There is a place, though, in here, because I just got through reading it.
Yes.
No problem.
That said God is truth.
Yes.
And that felt so right to me.
Yes. Good. Draw me a picture of truth.
Well, I can't do that.
Can't do it.
It does feel right.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we said this last week too, but I love it.
Well, I'm not sure anybody or ever.
Well, it happened once. There was a little girl. I heard about this a couple of years ago. Little girl, maybe 3 or 4 years old in first grade, and they were in drawing class, and everybody was showing what their show and tell. What did you? I drew a boat. Somebody else drew a tree, and then this little girl said, "I drew God," and the teacher said, You can't draw God. Nobody knows what God looks like. And the kid says, turn your dog back around. Now they do.
That's
just a fun.
Yeah.
So, this is a question that you would do well to keep on your holster and ready to fire at A Course in Miracles every page. Because it's one of the chief burdens of this book. One of the things that it carries, when I say burdens, one of the things it delivers, is a wonderful sense that God is and of what God is. Now, if it were to say it, if it were to somehow put it in a paragraph, it would be fought over and the book would be thrown out for being wrong. By at least half, if not more than half the people. God is truth. God is love.
We have some conversation in this room, and
yes,
people give their different points of view about different things. Something gets manifested.
Yes.
And whatever that is not something you can really describe.
Correct.
But there's a sense of balance.
Yes.
You know, like riding a bicycle, you get on the bicycle and you know how to ride the bicycle and not fall off.
Yes.
And that kind of happens at a certain place where there's a certain rightness, there's a certain being that you start to get a sense of, like a light turns on.
A sense, a light.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, now you can't really describe what that is.
It wasn't available when you first started.
Right.
You needed to start somewhere, like maybe God is your father, mm-hmm, or God is the creator. Good one, right? That's pretty safe. God's a creator. And then we'll go on to the next topic. So meanwhile, each of us would have a picture of what a creator would look like. And if that's where you're starting, that's really useful. And it's something good. Because now you kind of move forward. And you say, well, wow, God made that beautiful tree. And God made the flower, and God made the babies, and God made the stars, and God's okay. But eventually, there's a mass shooting somewhere. Or there's cancer in the loved one. And there's a death, and there's something wrong. And you say, oh, where was God? In that moment, when that shooter was aiming down innocent people in a crowd and started shooting, There were 50 people killed in minutes. Where was God that made everything then? That's why A Course in Miracles exists for me. And why I love it so much. It's because I was raised Catholic, and then I chose to go Protestant because I thought the Catholic was too... Anyway, so then I... finally A Course in Miracles came along, and it finally made sense. You know, God is the highest referred topic in the entire book. But you know, if I asked you that, you probably would have said something else, like Holy Spirit or forgiveness or love, or you would have said all these other things. But when you start to ask this question that you're asking, you will find everywhere that this book is supporting your question. It will not be a personality. It will not be a somebody. In fact, if you were like me and you were arguing with the bad things in the world and saying, I know love is, because I feel it, but where is the big love that's the source when these things that are out of my control happen? And they will happen to me too. And they have, and more will have happened to me too. I seem like a victim to bad things. A Course in Miracles is the first thing that actually shines light. And you will see in here that says God does not even know you, what you think you are here. Whew. That's in the book. I said, whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anytime they do give a description of it, it's like the non-specific abstract love. You can't even describe what you just said. That's the words you give, or anything they say is not very descriptive.
Anything you could say would limit God so dramatically, just like love. Anything that you could actually use to describe love,
it's never been describable,
would limit it now to the confines of what you understood those words to mean, and whoever was listening, it's further limited, but you don't even know what they think love is.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you're trying to say love, or you're trying to say God. So, and yet, I have not found any book on the planet that describes love more thoroughly, in more ways, or God, more thoroughly than this.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
So the other thing is, you'll find double and triple negatives in here. And the sentence goes long. It says, its very nature is that it is not. What does that even mean? That's designed to slow you down so that you can internalize these messages and hear yourself answer them as you attempt to make sense, not with the words, but with the meaning. With the true meaning. So, I would say, bravo. I would say we're going to do an intensive now on God and A Course in Miracles, because that is so appropriate. And if you're interested, we will lay out a couple of layers of how the Course talks about God. And sometimes, it's very, the first levels would be, God is your creator. God is your source. Your father. It'll say, this is a quote, God is lonely without you. And that's, for some of you really need that sometimes. You get a hug so you can move forward. None of us need that. But then, as you advance in the course, you'll find out other places it says things like this. It'll say, God doesn't even know you're here. It'll say, short sentence, right? God is an idea. How am I supposed to get this big hug when I go to heaven, and the guy lifts his arm, the robes fall back, and these wonderful warm hands just hug me and says, oh, you died, but everything's okay. Some people are looking for that. Well, the Course essentially says you'll have that if that's what you want, but you are dreaming. You're more powerful than you could know. You're more powerful than you've ever given yourself credit for, the Course says. He says, so God's an idea. And the next sentence, by the way, in chapter 15.
You are an idea.
It says, you may be able to accept that God is an idea, comma, but are you ready to accept that you are an idea? So, There are many levels in A Course in Miracles, and I found it very satisfying to continue with that question. And then you love, and once you grab a hold of the lesson you're doing, like for example, well, yeah, let's do that now. Everybody turn to the workbook, and we'll just go to the lesson.
So if I'm an idea, can I be an interactive idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's no limit. You see, because if you recognize that...
Not a static idea, that's just an idea. I'm an idea that's evolving.
Yeah, yeah. If you recognize that you are an idea, and you recognize that you are... These are two huge things of the work meditating, right? I mean, how can we just say that? They're huge. But if you do, if you get comfortable with you are an idea and that you are, then you will start to get an idea or get a sense of what spirit is. And so, yeah, that's not static. Welcome, new guy.
Hi, how you doing, guys?
Hey, pull up the pillow, pull up the chair. Oh, we have
the books.
Yeah. A brand new
book.
Before we have to end,
turn to the table of contents in the workbook. So, go to the end of the text, page 667, 669, and turn to
the... You're the first one to open this one. How about that?
Go to the end of the text, and then turn two pages. Yeah, I gotta get to the table of contents in the workbook. Great. Welcome, new guy. What's your name?
Dan. Yes.
Okay. Everybody, this is Dan. Dan, this is everybody.
Thank you for having me.
Dan says he's from out of town.
Okay, we're talking about what God is. And so, you know, a great thing about A Course in Miracles, you know, God is not a person. God is not a thing that could be jealous, angry, need revenge, or judgment. But sometimes it's very helpful for you to think of God that way, because it's the only way you could relate. That's fine. But the Course will give you a little hug there, and then it'll pull you right out of that, because it's way too limiting. Way too limiting. So, just turn the page now over to lesson title 41. We don't want to spoil. Mark is working his way through the lessons. We're not going to spoil it too much.
We
really haven't. And so, let's, Miley, start with you. We'll just read one lesson title each. We're just going to read through 50. Okay. Just those lesson titles.
God goes with me wherever I go. Mm-hmm.
God is my strength. Vision is his gift.
God is my source and cannot see apart from him.
God is the light in which I see.
God is the mind with which I think.
God is the love in which I forgive.
God is the strength in which I trust.
There is nothing to fear.
God's voice speaks to me all through the day.
I am sustained by the love of God.
I am delighted.
Hold on, that's good. Thank you. So, that really is a great 10 days right there. That's 10 days. You're one day for each lesson. And you will think about those deeply. And it'll tell you how often during the day to say it and give you some words around it. But that is a great 10 days to sit down and feel what Course is trying to tell you God is. Yes?
Andrew, introduction, paragraph 2.
Yes. Let's go there.
Let's go there! All the way to the front of the book.
It's about 20 pages in. It's page 0. Would be 1.
Page 1.
It'd be page 1. There's no number there.
Can I tell you something while we're waiting?
Oh, yeah.
I figured out why you called me stubborn.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
I figured a positive reason why you called
me stubborn. Oh, okay, good. Okay.
Because I was thinking, does he ever criticize somebody else? I remember him ever criticizing anybody else before.
Only if they got it coming.
Anyway, you said to somebody last time that they were stubborn, and the reason was because they insisted on getting it perfectly. And that for those 10 lessons probably took me 6 months because I had to get it perfect.
Not that I did, but I tried.
And I think I'm stubborn because I want to understand every single word in here as I go by it.
Yeah, it has it, and that's very innocent. The Course says that the ego analyzes and the Holy Spirit accepts. And so you kind of have to catch your spiritual ego trying to inform you so you can get it. There's another place in the book that says, we wouldn't go there anyway tonight. There's another place in the book where it says you can hear this message 1,000 times and then 1,000 times again, but without your understanding, it uses the word faith, without your understanding of the message, you will still be in the chaos of the world. However, just one instant of feeling the eternity, the presence of God in you, somehow, even you, rotten you, you know what you said, you know what you did, you know, even you, and you find that light, just for a moment, that holy instant, now you are an authority, you become a teacher of God, because you know something that is true. But it won't be your words. Good. Thank you very much for that. It is a critical, metaphysical passage everybody must make. This book is a great way to do it. It's the single most misunderstood thing about anybody in a body, is what God is.
It just occurred to me that also, when people say I'm spiritual, what are they talking about?
That's a good point. Yeah. Yes.
I always say, what is your spiritual practice?
Yeah.
Well, they probably mean they're not only physical.
Well, no, I mean, I kind of understand what people mean, but they're talking about, what they're talking about is, you know, the Holy Spirit, or, you know, I mean, however we can relate to it.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing. Yeah. Basically.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, that's just like when you start to look at the word love and you try to define the word love, you will be instantly having a lot of variables on the table. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a book that says, from the perspective of the author, you cannot have love here. You can have wonderful love here with a lowercase of wonderful experiences. And in fact, it's just an absolute celebration of creation when you do. But they are not, there is a type of love that goes beyond the limits of time and space. And that's what God is. It's very exciting because the book continues that circle that I'm drawing with my words. And it says, not only is that what God is and where God is, which is beyond the limits of this world, but it's also what you are, because that made you. You were made as an extension of love. Therefore, it is all of what you are. You have found a way here, seeking for a substitute for love that you could put into these bodies in time and space, which, by the way, are all dying. Oh, everybody. Sorry. I hate to break it to you. Coming. It's coming.
My cells are resisting that.
Yes, yes. My eating habits are resisting that too. Yeah.
So it, perfect love is that can be equated with no separation, right? Is that?
Yeah. Perfect love can be equated with truth. Perfect love can be equated with perfect sharing. Perfect sharing. Not an attempt. It doesn't take time to give and to receive, which, like I say, is wonderful. I love it. I love the love here. The give and receive and the sharing here is wonderful when it's wonderful. But the love that we would, if you're open, when you're ready for it, the book will take you another step, and your heart will become aware of something that is beyond. Yes. And then the idea of perfect becomes a meditation on its own. Good. Yeah. Cecily.
So, I was thinking about what you said, Mark, about, you know, trying to understand what God is, what we're meaning when we say that, like, God is in everything I see, like, what does that mean? And, you know, the earlier lessons tell us that our thoughts do not mean anything, and that we have no neutral thoughts, and that our thoughts are like images that we make. So we don't want to have a thought about God because we can't, because our thoughts aren't real and they're meaningless. So you were like right on the money, I think, when you talked about being like in the meditative state or like a feeling. It's like the whole point is to get away from thinking and to like a different level that's not at a thought level.
Great.
Okay. So you're, and the lessons are going to be delivering for you. And like I say, when you get to those 10 lessons in a row, you'll probably be celebrating finally some traction here. Mm. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. we'll keep that discussion.
Are you not going to finish that?
What's that?
You said go to the introduction.
Oh, yeah. We'll have Walt take us through that. Walt, what do you want to show us?
Oh, just, you can't talk about God directly. That's not possible. So you have to talk about God indirectly. And you can talk about the peace of God.
Yes. Which is an experience. The peace of God. All right, well, since you're going to do that, why don't we take one more paragraph on this topic before we jump into tonight's reading. Everybody turn to page 519 in the text. So turn forward 500 pages to 519. And it's kind of a handy place where it sort of, now you're 500 pages into the book, and it says, you know, you may be ready to challenge even the book itself in the way that it's written. Because by now we've talked about unity and oneness and love a lot by the time we get into page 519. You may be ready to actually talk about these names. What is this? It sounds like separate. If there's a Father, and there's a Son, there's a Holy Spirit, and who's this Jesus character? This sounds like a whole crowd. What happened to oneness? You might have that honest question. So who's reading next?
Dan.
Is it Dan?
Yes.
I'm horrible with names. I'm sorry. I'll eventually get it.
I got lost.
519 is way that way.
Yeah. What paragraph?
It's going to be paragraph 5.
Okay. Since you believe that you're separate, heaven presents itself to you as separate too. Not that it's true, but that the link has been given you to join the truth may reach to you through what you understand. Father and Son and Holy Spirit are as one, as all your brothers join as one in truth. This and his father never have been separated. In prison abides within your understanding, in the part of you that shares his father's will. The Holy Spirit links the other part, the tiny, mad desire to be separated, different and special to the Christ, to make the oneness clear to what is really one. In the word, this one is not understood, and it's not understood, but can be taught.
Thank you. It's just a nice pithy paragraph where he takes you aside and says, I got to use what you can understand to talk about oneness which you can't understand. You, being what you have narrowed yourself, you've narrowed your understanding of what you are so small and so limited that we have to talk to you like a child. But the love in you is infinite. So, you know, that's why there's so many pages. Just carefully take you back to your understanding, back to your awakening, as the extension of God that you are. And the power just comes rushing in. But it comes at a pace that you choose. So you will not be in fear as this shows back up. There's a place in here that says, don't be worried that you'll be hurled out of your sleep, you know, and shocked into the truth of what you are. Don't worry. Because it's the exact opposite of the nature of our course. Don't be fearful, right? This won't be fearful. You will welcome each step that you take with a happiness in your heart.
Yeah.
Sweet, huh? Okay. So, we are in a section in the book called Entering the Ark. We're starting a new section on page 434. So can we tie our nice discussion in here together with the work we have to do tonight?
434?
Yeah, 434 in the text. Heralds
of Eternity.
Heralds of Eternity, yeah. Why don't we use eternity and God as our launching point? And, you know, A Course in Miracles, another way to look at this entire book and the entire journey is that A Course in Miracles is a bridge. It's a bridge, and the purpose of a bridge is to take you from where you are and you're ready to go to the other side, cross over something that's otherwise too difficult to pass. So there's a bridge in between that would carry you safely over and away from where you are to where you want to be. And the funny thing about the bridge is it's both places at one time. It's connected to both places at one time. When you choose to use the bridge, it's just waiting for you to walk right over it. Generously, at your pace, the bridge is there. A Course in Miracles is a bridge. It's a connection between your false thinking and true thinking, both of which are yours. It's very generous this way. Some of the words in the book, like God, or like eternity, they sort of serve as like a code word to your wake up. It kind of serves in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, when we say, in Course in Miracles, we say Holy Spirit, it's not some other dude in that crowd we talked about, right? But it is part of your mind that's still connected to the truth. Very, very personal. Part of you that is still connected to the truth. Truth equals love equals God. So, the Holy Spirit is a trigger word, a wake up, another wake up thing to contemplate. That were you to sit down and to use this as a guide and try to understand, like Mark is trying to understand, what is God? What is the Holy Spirit? It's just another vector back to you. You have, right now, already, an unholy spirit. We call it the ego. It's a spirit. It's just as powerful as the Holy Spirit. It's like, you know, one side of the bridge is the unholy spirit, the other side of the bridge is the Holy Spirit. To travel between the two, you would have to let go of one side, right? You can't be on both sides of the bridge endpoint at the same time. You can be fully on the bridge, but I'll tell you, your mind is on one side or it's on the other. There is no neutral.
A completely different thought system.
Turns out, exactly the opposite. Not a modification. That would be hard. If it was this world only 25% different, well, which 25%, 75% do I keep and when? No. It is exactly 180 degrees opposite of what the world. That makes it really simple.
It's more like grabbing like if you go from one vine to another, you have to let go of the one vine to go forward on the other.
Yes, and if you don't, if you'd be lucky enough to grab a second one, you'd be stuck. Right. If you're hanging on to both. Mm-hmm.
Been there. Hate it when that happens.
Yes. And, of course, remember, students, 1,300 pages and 365 lessons, and all the topics we have to cover in here, there are plenty of opportunities to be hanging on to yesterday's lesson when you really should let go and go to tomorrow's lesson. today's lesson, I mean. And you will get stuck hanging on to both vines, and you'll be toddling in the middle. And you're saying, this stuff doesn't work. Hanging on to both vines. It doesn't work. The book is broken.
So when you say 180 degrees, what I'm hearing is I have to give up every single thing on the ego side of the bridge.
Yes.
And that's what this book is
preaching. If you don't, you will continue to find yourself on the ego side of the bridge. And you say, when am I going to get to the Holy Spirit side?
It's like one step forward and two steps back.
It's like that. Yes.
Well, and isn't it that we only have the capacity to carry one thought at a time?
Yes.
So our thoughts are either of the material-based world where the ego lives, or we're choosing to have thoughts of the divine.
Yes.
And in the divine, as one of the things, one of my takeaways with this is that the Holy Spirit and the self with a capital S are almost synonymous, if not synonymous. Mm-hmm. So we carry in us this higher self also.
Yes.
You know, the ego is just a little mask and Halloween costume we've thrown on to dance around in, and then we got lost and forgot because we're in a society that has not in recent history valued being in touch with the divine. Mm-hmm. It's valued separation.
Well, the world
and the whole thing is about controlling us.
And the world's a perfect place to do that. Yeah. The world is a perfect place to continue, and the Course uses the analogy of a dream. So the ego is this dream of separation. And you can also have a dream of forgiveness. And when you do, you start to lighten up. And your heart starts to open. And the holy instant is when you're hope and you're out of time. And you feel the spirit again. Right here, right now, same situation. Yes.
So when you've got to the point where you recognize when your ego comes up, like you're stuck on something or pissed off at somebody for no reason, and you say to yourself, I'm going to let go of my attack thoughts. Does that count on not being on the side of the ego? Or is that halfway?
Yeah. In order for you to stop following the ego. Mm-hmm. Stop being drunk on the ego. Stop dreaming of more ego things, which is attack, defense, anger, these things. Mm-hmm. Hatred. Mm-hmm. All that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Fear is a big one.
Which one?
Fear is a big one.
Guilt, a big one. How much guilt do they deserve? Do you deserve some of the guilt too? Was part of this year, could you have done something, really different?
Disappointment.
Yeah, they're guilty, but so are you a little bit. There's something enough to go around. If you're using the guilt as a way to somehow make sense of things, boy, are you in the hands of the ego. Mm. It will just continue to make more world.
Now, what I'm asking is, when you get to the point where you recognize those tendencies in yourself.
Yes.
And you're able to, you still have that tendency, and sometimes you you know, you're full blown doing that. Yes. You catch yourself.
Yes.
Which side of the coin are you on? You're talking about which side of the bridge.
When you catch yourself, you have heard the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's awareness.
It's awareness.
You're aware that your ego's taking over.
It's awareness. That means you saw the bridge. I found a bridge that'll get me from hatred, anger, and attack to peace, love, and joy. It's not even on the bridge necessarily, but it's awareness. And a lot of people will dance and sing and write books about awareness without ever actually giving you a chance to be on the bridge itself.
Well, is it ever possible to, not revert back at moments to that? You know, I mean, as a human being, we all have our moments.
Yes.
But it seems like it might get the gap in between the time that you recognize it and you can switch back, gets shorter and shorter.
Yeah. It does. It does, because just like any drug, when you start to like it, you start to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I get
love is that way.
No, I get it.
Okay. Naps.
Right.
Yeah. What I get about that though is when you say it's an awareness and you have to get on the bridge, when you become aware, it seems to me. Because you can choose to be aware that you're doing something, but you don't have to choose that you're going to change it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And now that's a fact. And unfortunately, it's the most common situation of spiritual seekers that I've seen in all my years.
Because it's not easy.
It's not convenient either.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody else is dealing with anger and hatred, and you're going to come in with awareness of love, how's that going to work for you? You know, you got to fight fire with fire, says the world. It's really not convenient to do this spiritual thing in a world that's not very spiritual.
I mean, once you're aware that you're angry and you're aware of it, it's still not easy for it to go away.
Right, because the habits are there. All you know is how to deal with anger. That's why it's very good to have a practice.
Not just anger, other things too.
Sure, fear, guilt, sorrow,
worthlessness. Right?
What? Yep. Worthlessness, we could go on and on.
Yes.
All these things of the ego, which hold the world together.
That's why the Holy Spirit comes in first.
Yeah, because that's all the unholy spirit.
Yeah. Well, and they're deeply ingrained in the subconscious.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a slow journey.
Oh, yeah. Like I say, habits. That's why I say, you know, this is an addiction.
Lifelong.
Ego is an addiction. Lifelong. Some people say many lives long. This is an ego addiction. And an addiction is something where the substance, whatever it is, seems to have the answers and be something that will make you feel good.
And like she said, in today's world, more than ever.
You bet. That's the whole purpose of the dream. This is a dream of separation. So
what's the medicine of that ego?
What's the medicine?
That's a good one.
Hell yeah. What's the medicine?
That's the bridge.
Yes.
Well, because you could be going on the bridge and then you go back and forth.
That's right. And you continue to look at the side of the bridge as you know the best. And when things get uncomfortable, the bridge is cold maybe or too wide. I don't like wide spaces. I'm going back. And you will go back. You go back to the drug that you know the best.
That's how we have a workbook.
So he asked what, you know, what the antidote for that is.
The workbook.
Okay, so the antidote.
This is it.
The antidote is on the cover of the book. What does the cover of the book say?
Of course,
you need a miracle.
You would need a miracle.
A shift in perception.
Dan, there's no way you're going to give up all the stuff you know and love. And all the shortcuts that you learned over all your life. And that your friends continue to offer and show you how to do. And the TV shows show you what to do. And the news and everything else tells you what normal is. There's no way you're going to give that up. Because it seems to be the right thing to do.
Eye for an eye, tooth for tooth.
This has been going on for a long time. We're highly addicted to the ego. I like to call this course and this meeting Egos Anonymous. We've come here to stop doing the ego, because it will continue to be there like any drug that you know how to use. Even though you'd rather not use it, it comes up right away. When you're addicted, it's there.
Well, even just as simple as, you know, when you talk to people, it's, you talk about what you've been doing, and what you're going to do in this like material world. Like if you pay attention to what conversations are about, that's what they're about, like the past and the future. And so to remove yourself from that is significant.
It's significant. That's why we can do this in a room that's just 15 feet by 15 feet for the last 26 years. Because this world doesn't tolerate the significant changes that we're talking about here in the Course in Miracles. It is significant. I haven't found anything else that'll work. I would go to that meeting if I did. Indeed.
It's significant, but it starts so simple, because you have the awareness, you take a breath, and then you invite in a different way of seeing. And the first time you do that, you think it's impossible, but then once you're able to shift your thought away from the trigger, it's like, oh, that was just my own thought. I did that to myself. I was frustrating myself. And, like, it's so empowering.
Wow. Listen to this. 5 years you've been in this?
In October.
5 years in October, Julie has been working to get past her own demons, like all of us. And she has now, those were her words. Those are not the words of the book memorized. Julie is freaking working it. And it's been bringing her some peace along the way. She owns what she just said. Mm-hmm. And what you've done is she's taken what happens in an instant. It was impossible when she started. That's why she needed to start. Because the anger shows up, the guilt shows up, the old drug shows up, and you're already furious and swearing and hating before you had a chance to stop. How could anybody stop? You think? But from what Julie just described to you, she found out that there was a whole bunch of time between stimulus and response that was not there, it seemed, before Course in Miracles opened up time, showed you your mind, showed you your part in everything you think and do, showed you thought by thought what the ego is, where the ego is, and how it operates. This is what she so easily discussed, that she caught now her ego, and she found all this time, which has only happened in an instant. But she found that instant. Course in Miracles with the workbook opens up time, and it causes you to stop in the middle of your stinking thinking. And to catch the cascade of thinking that brings you to greed, anger, hate, guilt, on and on. It turns out, the more you work it, the more control you actually have over those moments. You didn't think you did before. Now you know that.
And Mark's point about that, the recovery time, when you do lash out the way that you did, it's like, or if something is affecting you and making you sad or whatever, it's like the recovery time. It's like you just bounce back so much faster. It's like you just see through it. You see through it.
And how long do you stare at an illusion that fooled you? You know, you're driving your car and you think, oh my God, it's a cat in the road. And you swerve, oh, it's just a garbage bag. You're going to look back at the cat? This is what she's talking about. You really, that's what a miracle is, by the way, Dan. It's a shift in perception from wrong to right. It's a shift in perception from material to spiritual. It's a shift in perception from horror to heaven. You would need a miracle to stop doing the same thing over and over, because it's all you know.
How do you get the miracle?
Oh yeah, baby. 1,300 pages, 365 easy to follow steps.
So my concept is, I could understand the course, the whole content, right? But in reality, what's the difference of actually getting a miracle versus actually knowing the content, right?
Yes.
Knowing the what?
Yeah, being able to describe a miracle, memorizing every page in the book, forwards and backwards. Is that going to bring you a miracle? No. Excellent.
It's the experience. What? You have to experience it.
Why? Well, tell us more, Julie. How is it you could read the whole book and still get angry and still be attacked and still say, I hate you to somebody who just said, I love you a week ago? After you've read the whole Course in Miracles, you can still do that? How? Tell me. What's the difference? He must be here. I mean, we're still reading the same book after all these years. There's something good about it. What's the difference between just memorizing everything and actually being able to do what you said?
You know it to be true.
And to know it to be true. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? What gave you the ability to deny your fears that you've been working with all your life?
Because you felt peace at one point.
Yeah.
You felt the truth at some point.
Mm-hmm. Felt it.
Experienced it. Felt the peace of God, even for just a snap.
Right when you would not have.
Right.
Something, an awareness occurred.
A holy instant?
A holy instant was obvious.
Well, a few times that I feel like I knew that I would... I'd had a shift in perception. I'm sure I've had a lot, but a few times I knew it. It was such a lightning. And when I say lightning, I mean lightening.
Yes.
I just felt so light and like...
Yes.
Happy and joyful and glorious.
Yes.
Like
love.
Like love.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It was like in a dark room, and it was getting colder, and suddenly the light came on, and the heat rushed in. Wow, that's different. Like
I think the difference for me is like I think that everybody has miracles before, even before
yes.
we study this.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but by reading this, you start to recognize it.
Yes,
and so you know, then you can it gives you a lot of power over those situations to be able to recognize the difference between the way your thinking was in one moment. And when it shifts
yes.
to right thinking.
Yes.
And you can feel that right thinking.
You can feel it because this lightning effect
yeah.
occurs. And this power is a great word. You were powerless before. Mm-hmm. And yet, where Walt took us on page one, the introduction, it starts out with this crazy sentence. It says, let's see. Nothing real can be threatened. Comma. Nothing unreal even exists. What are you worrying about? You don't get it? All right. Here's 1,300 pages for you to think about this. And you'll come back to page one and go,
really
oh,
simple.
Yeah.
It's simple. And after a year, you should be able to be in your own guidance. And
one
not
year.
Not read the book anymore.
Yeah.
Right? You can bear
in mind what the lesson is. You'll be done. Yeah. And then you're good to go.
What I really like, though, about the book is every single page is about every other single page.
Yes. So it supports itself.
So it's like 1,300 pages of over and over and over and over until it feels like that's the habit rather than the ego is the habit.
It supports itself and it makes huge promises with such authority that it bought me, you know. My confidence kept rising. Every time I would see these very well written, very loving, loving promises.
What I have to say to support what I said is every single lesson I'm on, we talk about in the class that night.
Yeah. Right.
Because right along, I missed reading before last week, so I read it this week. The very first thing I read was about what is freedom.
Yeah, nice.
I thought, okay. And the first time I heard, I don't know. Was in that reading.
Nice.
We said that last
yeah.
week. So it's like, okay, I might have understood last week better if I'd read this verse, but now I'm reading it so I can understand it.
Just in time for you. Mm-hmm. This is your meeting, that's why.
And every single time it's like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every time you do, it's like, oh, I just read that. You can almost say that every time you come to class.
I know
it.
It's like, I bet you can put this whole book into 6 pages, but it wouldn't do any good that way.
Yeah. You put it in one sentence.
Yeah.
You know, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists.
Yeah, right there. There's the whole book in one page.
There you go.
Yeah, it's the constant reinforcement by reading it over and over and doing lessons.
And the reinforcement and the awakening has to occur.
Yeah.
Because you're asleep.
And it takes time because we've learned all these things over years.
Lived it, idolized it, celebrated it, married it, divorced it, putting it through college. I mean, oh my God, that's what we do here. And none of that makes sense with the sentence the wall would take us to. It says, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. But wait, I know something that's threatened.
Maybe if we all took ayahuasca.
Yeah, let's get high.
Ayahuasca, that's South American stuff.
Oh. That's another thing, is that you can have the kind of awakenings with A Course in Miracles. For me, the shifts, I haven't done big drugs, so what do I know? But I sure talk a lot of people who have. And people who've done A Course in Miracles and have done large drugs. And the comparisons are, and essentially the bottom line is, here's a drug you get to keep, the high. Mm-hmm. You get to have a shift in perception you keep. It's real. The drug was borrowed.
Yeah. And I think I've had thrills in this book that equate ayahuasca.
Yeah, I can
say that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I took acid when I was, you know, in my teens, right? And it definitely puts you on a place that does approximate in, you know, what we're talking about here, but it's temporary.
Yeah, you don't own it.
It vanishes.
You had to go get it, you borrowed it, and you put it, you had to check it back into the library. Gone.
Yeah.
Gone. Vanished. Yeah. So, to answer your question, what's the antidote to the ego? And the antidote is what this book calls a miracle. But a miracle in this book is the complete opposite of what it is in the dictionary. So are 21 other terms in here, like love, like forgiveness, all sorts of others. But a miracle is actually a shift back to the truth in this book. In the world, it's a shift away from truth for a moment. And something miraculous happened that shouldn't have happened, but it did. Shouldn't have happened. Didn't happen to her, but it happened to me. It was a miracle. That's in the world, right? Of course, says, let's reverse that entirely. Finally, I found the truth. And I know it's true for you, too, even if you can't see it. That's what Julie was just saying. She says, you know what? I started to weed through and found out the power of my mind to choose peace at any minute. And now I know at any minute I can choose peace. She's had some unpeaceful minutes come since then that have challenged the strength of this sentence. But eventually she says, oh wait, oh yeah, oh yeah. God, I'm free, I'm still free. And then you can't go back. You can't go back to your old drugs once you found a new drug.
So do you think that awareness could be the same miracle?
Yeah.
In other words?
It's all awareness.
Totally.
It's all awareness of what's already true. You're not inventing anything.
Remembering the truth of God.
Correct.
Yep.
How do you define when you're like fully awake or fully awake?
Because,
or enlightened, right? When,
yeah, because the idea of oneness is obvious. You're fully awake. When is brain dead obvious? And when you laugh at love, because it's so everything, then you're fully awake. When you now see the sameness in everything instead of the differences, you're fully awake. When you yourself are the author of that moment and it's joyful, you're fully awake.
And you don't slip out of that.
Yeah, you're too addicted to love and joy to slip out of it when you're fully awake. When you recognize that that is your natural state, you're fully awake. And that this is artificial, you're fully awake.
The book says we're all calling for love. My answer to that is that's what we're yearning to be, is fully awake.
Yeah, because we're tired. If you keep reading this book, you'll know you're one of the people it's talking to. There's lots of people who just won't read this. It's like, I'd rather do another Byron Katie book. I get that better. Good, you should. But when you go back to
the language turns off so many people.
It does.
It does.
It does. And I know people who hate the language and have still continued to come to this meeting and read this book after 10 years.
I have a bunch of friends who bought it when it came out and couldn't stand the language. They all have it on their bookshelf.
On the bookshelf.
But they couldn't do it.
But aren't there plenty who go back to it after 5 or 6 years, still hating the language, but says, there's nothing that touched me like this. I don't know why, but it did. I got lots of those stories. People in this room don't really like the way it's written. Why don't you just write it straightforward? Well, then it would be 7,000 pages. There's so many teachings, levels of teaching inside this book. It's compressed to only 1,300. Cleverly.
Yeah. The thing is, it uses language that pushes religious buttons. You know, upbringing kind
if
of
you got them depressed,
atonement,
let's press them. Salvation, atonement, salvation. Holy Spirit, God, Jesus,
masculine
everywhere. Where's the she? Where's the goddess?
Yeah,
that's what
too.
I want to know.
Andrew,
an awakening is right there, though, right? An awakening is right there with that very challenge of where is the she? Continue to study the book saying, where's the she? Mm-hmm. And by the time, there's an awakening that comes around that very challenge. Just like there's with what's God? Where's God? Where's God? Where's God when there's murder?
She.
She.
S-H-E.
Where's God when there's cancer?
She.
Mm. Where is God when the volcano goes off and just kills an innocent village of people and wipes out history? Take that question with you. Take where is she with you? Because even as you look for she and you say, oh, there's another he, but I like what it said
brother,
about
brother, brother. Where's the sister? Where's the daughter?
Where's the mother? Where's the sister? Where's the daughter? Where's the mother? Goddess? The grandmother? Where's the whole other half of the deal? Other half of the deal. Yeah, there's this half and there's the other half. How many is that? There's two, of course. Meditate on that for a while. What's the book about?
Oneness.
Oneness, thank you very much. But still, take it with you. If that's where your heart and your head is, take it with you. And the book will gently bring you around to the oneness behind your question. I love it. But only every time.
Like when you're talking about the characteristics of being awakened or enlightened, like it made me think that there's like these two like parallel universes happening in the same moment, and you can be walking down the street in one mind frame and you're walking down the same street with the same people in the other one.
Yes.
And they're like both always there, and you can shift back and forth, and you don't like leave this world. You're just like in it in a different way with a different perspective.
Yeah, lesson 155, paragraph 1. Let's read that. That also helps us with what we need to do tonight, if we ever get there. We're getting it.
I didn't get the page.
That's the way it always works out. Yeah,
it's
91.
Page 1.
Which page is it?
291.
Page on the bottom it says 291, and the top it says 155.
That's so confusing.
I know. All these numbers, and it's in the workbook. So you got to go 500 pages to the right, Dan. Okay, because there's another book. There's a couple of books sewn into one here.
Page 291 in the lessons.
So get yourself into the workbook, the lessons. It's like, you know, two-thirds of the way through the book, maybe more.
You know where they start, but not where we are.
Yeah. All right. Still learning how to do that. Okay, so who's up to bat?
I am, but I have the wrong glasses on. I can't read tonight.
All right. Cecily's going to read for you.
First paragraph?
Yes, please.
I will step back and let him lead the way. There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene. Your eyes are quiet. And the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also, and believe that you are like them as you were before.
Yet, right? That's this is the last sentence she just read, sentence 5. A lot of pretty words before that, right? There's a way of being this world, and everything's lovely. Yet, like a record scratch, but those who have not yet perceived the way is the truth, right? The way is having your eyes open when you have a few miracles, a few holy instances, the peace has occurred to you, and you say, I want more of that drug. I'm switching drugs now from hate to love. I'm switching drugs from anger to peace. I'm switching. Something happens when you do that. When you're able to make that shift because it is seen by you as better. Not because you memorized the book, but because you actually felt the strength of these teachings. And you say, oh, this is actually home to me. This is truth. This is light. And I was in the darkness before. I was trying to make a whole bunch of good out of nothing, out of darkness. This is light. Luann says, lightness occurs. I like that lightness. It's like love. She's not going back. She will continue. She will forever continue to pursue that light, as Julie has. You can't take her back. Julie has found a way to find order in chaos. She's found a way to smile her way through very difficult situations, honestly, mm-hmm. and not by some kind of a spiritual bypass, mm-hmm. because she found the love in the moment. Even though it was a very ugly, worldly moment, the love was still in mm-hmm. her the whole time. So she found the power that was always there, but somehow she was dreaming away from it. Now she's dreaming toward it. That's the way. That's the path. If you start dreaming toward joy, toward love, toward oneness, toward seeing the things that are in common versus the things that are different at the same time, in the same situation.
So, and that's an interesting what you just said, and you said it several times tonight about that going into truth, that we actually are dreaming ourselves there before we come into the reality.
Got a girl.
And I've never heard that before. Yes. That's like a whole new
yes.
idea.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to wait till you're there.
Right.
You just start practicing dreaming there.
Yes. You will change your dream. You are dreaming.
Right, we're dreaming anyway.
We're going to change your dream now with the Holy Spirit guiding instead of the unholy spirit. The ego is the unholy spirit.
Right.
We're going to change now. See, the Holy Spirit knows that you're dreaming fully and knows what you think you see. So when you start learning how to listen to the Holy Spirit through miracles here and there, if you're starting to hear a still small voice that's in your head now, you just learned how to ignore it, but it's there, it's always been there. When you start to hear the Holy Spirit, now it will counsel you like Julie was describing, instead of the ego, which will counsel you to defend yourself right away. The first moment they open their mouth, you defend yourself first, then attack them, and attack them good, and then they'll know you're right. That's what the ego says, right? But there's another way. Julie's found it. And this book will run you through it, through the lessons. There's lessons. First you read a bunch of text, then you read the lessons, which will catch and show you your ego all through the day. 365 times.
But what I really like about it is we don't ever have to worry about becoming enlightened. Because when we get out of the way, away from the ego, onto what the Holy Spirit is telling us, God's going to take care of that.
But before we get there, we have to get off the drug that we're on. And the way we do it is that we start dreaming away from the separation. Because we really believe the separation is real mm-hmm. with our heart.
Well, isn't that what the lessons teach you to do? Is to start dreaming a different version of yourself.
Yes.
It starts teaching you, no, this is not how you should think. You mm-hmm. should think, this is the right way to
think. It says, try this.
Yeah.
Try this instead.
Yeah.
Like I said to you before, you know, you try the forgiveness route, and if it doesn't work, your misery is instantly refunded.
Mm-hmm.
Just try it. It's free.
How does forgiveness not work?
Oh, forgiveness fails to work. What a tee up, huh?
Yep.
Forgiveness. You guys are great. Forgiveness fails to work when there's no miracle. And you're just trying to be a nice guy. You're just trying to not punish somebody for hurting you.
Because it's the right thing to do. You think it's
because you think it's the right thing to do, and it'll be make you a good Course in Miracles student or a happy person. That's when it fails. That's when forgiveness fails. It's good that you didn't, you know, punch the person. You decided to forgive them instead. That's an improvement because you're not in jail tonight. That's really good. I mean, that really is an improvement. And go with that. Right? But it's not forgiveness of the Course in Miracles.
Well, the failure is that you don't feel better. You just are pretending to not care.
It's worse than that, Leah. The failure is that by forgiving them, you attacked them. How did you attack them with forgiveness? It looks
like...
You made
their attack real.
You made their attack real? It looks like this. Miley... you really hurt me. It hurt bad.
I'm so sorry.
And you shouldn't have... No, you shouldn't have done that. I mean, I personally, with all we've been through, I can't believe you did. But you know what? I'm going to forgive you.
It feels pretty shitty.
I'm telling you, come here. What I want her to say, I want her to roll over and say, I'm sorry. And then she'll take the knife that I'm trying to push and she'll just sink it into herself. Taking guilt. I'm trying to... push a little guilt over there. I'm going to forgive you for doing this whole thing and hurting me so much. I don't even know how much and how long it's going to take me to process what you did. But, you know, I'm going to try because I love you. Punching her, kicking her. I'm going to wait until a little tear comes out, then I'll be satisfied, upset enough. And then I'm going to wait for her to say I'm sorry, and then I'll know that...
I won!
She's sufficiently guilty. And
she's guilty, not me.
I'm sorry, you asshole.
Your own guilt.
Right, she says, yeah, right, she could try to fight me back, and then I'll just prove that she was wrong. And, oh my God, it gets uglier from there. That's how forgiveness fails.
I get that.
You get that. Yeah. Okay. So, of course, the miracles.
You work without taking the blame for your own problems that you created. So are you saying you should not forgive?
That's a cult you don't want to lie to. No, see,
because you can't lie to yourself.
You're going to forgive, but you're going to forgive truly instead of you're going to forgive with the Holy Spirit's definition instead of forgive with the unholy Spirit's definition. The ego's definition of forgiveness is yet another attack. It seems nice, but really, I'm just grinding her down, trying to make myself look better and feel better. But I'm charging her for it. And our relationship will never be the same.
It's a setup.
Once you punch somebody in the face like that, oh my God, right?
But you know, I don't think that kind of forgiveness feels particularly good anyway.
It doesn't. It's heavy. The Course in Miracles will take you through and show you how that kind of attack that seems to be forgiving actually burdens you both with making the harm real. I keep saying she hurt me, so it means I am vulnerable. What's page one that Walt took us to? Nothing real can be threatened. So I must, if I'm vulnerable and she hurt me, whatever got hurt, it's not real. Because nothing real can be threatened. Yes?
Well, you had that intensive where we talked about your brother.
Yes.
So forgiveness, the definition of forgiveness is giving before.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's giving something.
Yeah.
Right? You're giving something to someone. And if you really give something to someone, like, you know, love, maybe? Patience.
Patience would be good.
Yeah. If you really
tolerance
give that,
would be good.
If you really give that, that takes the place of the anger, the judgment, or the fear, the
attack.
Yeah.
It does. Because it's more true.
Yeah.
It's more valuable.
Right.
And if I love her, it's what I really need to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to attack her. My ego wants to win right now because I've been hurt. I'm not feeling love. I'm calling for love by attacking her. But man, the ego is going to just love that up, and before you know it, what a mess.
So the definition of forgiveness in here is like, to forgive is to like realize it didn't really happen.
Right? Yes.
But But from a practical standpoint, like my...
Okay, first I'll stop here for a minute.
Okay.
To say that it really didn't happen is something that you are allowed, you should be allowed to say at about year six.
I was going to say, that's going too far. Yeah.
Right? Because it's a summary statement. It's like saying there is no time. This book actually says there's no time. What time is it? Okay, we got another half an hour. What? You just said there's no time! Right? So be careful that you don't let spiritual ego summarize things that you, for yourself. You have to leave this open. So having put that caveat on the table, please continue.
Well, I mean, I've read a lot about what forgiveness means, is that we're supposed to see like something that feels like it was bad or an attack or a betrayal or something, and and just ignore and realize that it's not really real, and kind of overlook it. That's what my practice has been. Like, just like, whatever. Like, it's not really real. I'm not going to put any energy into this. That's kind of as close as I've gotten. But then, like, my teenager comes home, drives home, just got her license, and is obviously, like, intoxicated. Last night, with a friend, they're not even supposed to drive when they're another person. And so I'm like, okay, I, like, have to say something, right? Mm-hmm. But... And I was like, and I really thought about it. I'm like, okay, I just need to be super short and matter of fact, not do like guilt and blame and shame and like, you know, don't you know, and what are you thinking, and all that. And so I did really good at first, and I said, I know you know that it's not safe, and so no car for a week, and if it happens again, it'll be for a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I stopped myself, like, right there, and I thought that was really good. But then she had, like, an attitude towards me.
Where did that come from?
And I thought I was being such a good parent by not giving her the lecture and the blame and the shame.
Yes.
And I wanted some gratitude.
Oh, you did so good.
I did so good, and my punishment was so just smooth delivered, and I got no credit for it. And then when I got the eye roll and the attitude, then I kind of lost it. I was like, don't you know what a good parent I am that I didn't just give you a lecture?
Yeah.
You know?
See how nicely I took away your car, your mobility, your freedom. I did that so nicely.
Surgically done.
Why didn't you think?
So what did you do in that situation?
It's the eye roll.
Okay.
It's the eye roll that got you.
Yeah, the eye roll is what got me.
Definitely.
Okay.
The universal eye roll.
All right, so when we do A Course in Miracles work, now first of all, everybody here, is want your, I don't care how many years you've been in A Course in Miracles, if you're sitting in a car and your hand is resting on the door jamb and somebody's swinging the door closed, what do you do from A Course in Miracles standpoint?
Move.
With your hand.
Move your hand.
You move your hand. That's the correct thing to do at that level in a body. Just move your hand so the door can close without your fingers in it. A Course in Miracles, when parenting, applies to you, not to her. So you would take away the car as you appropriately would need to do. Whatever you believe is proper parenting will bring you peace and her safety and more love for you to have. You will do. With A Course in Miracles, you'll do it without fear. It will not change her mind. You just took her car, her wheels, man. Caught her drinking. That's embarrassing. It's bad. She deserved worse. She was afraid you were going to do more. But on and on and on and on. That's all the world. That's the level of the world. With your Course in Miracles, is that you remember that even through doing the tough love that you had to do, you could still do it with peace. Even as she then screams and yells, points at you, says, Mom, you don't love me. you can stay in peace knowing that that's her ego and she's calling for love now, as she would if you take her car away. I mean, you saw that coming. The key is that you can still sleep well that night, even after that horrible scene. And with A Course in Miracles, it gives you the ability to choose peace. Have your Holy Spirit walk you through it. In any situation, you have that tool forever. So, where does the forgiveness come in? Now she's got all sorts of things to forgive, okay? I mean, you could do the kid and the drugs and who gave her the drugs and the husband said she could have an early license so she got a car young, or maybe it's his fault. I mean, all these things you could do. But now, she's a Course in Miracles student. So, she got angry. She lost it. First she was peaceful. She's like, I'm doing it. One sentence, take the car away, give me those keys, you're done. You're done, honey. I took the car, and that's it. Still, something happened, and the peace didn't come. It's two different levels, see? With that door closing and your hands in the door jam, that's one level. Whether it hits your fingers and how you deal with it is another level.
Well, it's like, I mean, I feel like I thought in the past, before A Course in Miracles, it would have been like a big, like, you know, lecture and guilt and, yes. You know, you should know better, yes. And we're disappointed in you and all this stuff.
Judgments.
And, so, and I was really clear that
could have said a bunch of things that you wish you didn't even need to say, you wish you didn't say.
And like all the times you've done this before, and your brother didn't do it, and all that kind of stuff. So I was really aware to not do that at first. I was super aware, and I was like, something needs to happen, because can't be driving under the influence. Yeah. And so I'm just going to say, obviously you know, because she knows.
She does.
And, and I'm going to say, and no car for a week, and I'm going to leave it at that. And I felt so good about that.
You did great.
I'm not going to shame.
You didn't make another episode for her to complain about why you're a terrible mother later.
But then I really did want some credit for being so good.
Yeah.
Like for her, I wanted her to be like happy that she didn't get all that shame and blame and guilt.
Good. Excellent.
So that's really not so.
So all happened was is that your ego came in and said, now she owes me.
Yep.
It didn't have to be about the drinking.
She owes you appreciation because you did not go on and on about it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you
isn't
realize,
that crazy?
Don't you realize how hard I work not to lecture you?
Totally.
You owe me lots. Yeah. That's your ego coming in. But you know what? You still did absolutely great. But then you gave up and you let go of the peace. And that's all. It was just your ego and the pride. That's what egos do. You got a little more work to do, sure. But you're doing great. Because you decided not to make, and this is very careful, when you go for the holy relationship, which is what you're working on with your daughter now, is that you don't introduce new problems trying to solve current problems. You're not adding more problems by bringing in the past, a possible future that didn't happen.
So at this point, you might try to present it to the Holy Spirit within you for answers.
Yeah, so now we still can use that situation as golden and full of opportunity for you for miracles and forgiveness and holy instances, even though it's in the past. Even though it's already happened and you could have done something different and you didn't, you still can in your mind.
Yeah, well, it's really helpful actually for me to see that that it was the ego, me wanting credit for being like more spiritual and controlled. It's like a layer beneath, right?
Yes. Okay. And, well, you know what? But I'm not dissing you for that, because you should be proud of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. This is the way you heal, and along the way there's some scars and some rebroken, you opening up wounds and things like that. But you're on your way, woman. This is great.
Well, next time it happens, when I do good and then I expect that I want some credit for doing good, I'll remember, okay, this is just layer two.
Yeah.
So
meanwhile, that's right, it will come. You have to know that her ego is going to try to get your ego, make you feel guilty for taking the car. Mom, you over-responded, you overreacted, on and on and on. Right?
Who are you anyway to tell me what I'm supposed to do or not?
Or I don't love you because you did that.
That could come, right? Mm-hmm. And you can expect it because her ego is going to be on tilt.
She's not on a spiritual path.
I think you're making yourself wrong by saying that you wanted credit. I think you wanted to make a connection and you wanted love back. So you might want to ask yourself, how can you make that connection?
Yeah.
Which maybe in 10 years it'll come with her. She can understand what you did was so kind. But right now she lost her car. And that just sucks, right? Yeah. But you know that, though. Now, let's work on forgiveness for you. Because there's a call for forgiveness for Cecily. You would come back to peace around that situation when you forgive your thoughts of guilt over escalating the situation after you had it handled. That's just natural, your ego going back to its old drug and habits. You can let it go because it's meaningless. It's just meaningless ego trying to do what it does. But man, you came in strong and you really did. I'll give you the appreciation.
Thank you.
Good job, Mom. Good job. Excellent parenting.
Well, aren't we also going back to your original question, which was, how do we do the forgiveness thing if what I'm hearing and what I've seen in the book, it's, well, it didn't happen.
Uh-huh.
She didn't come home drunk,
mm-hmm.
right? She wasn't out driving and drinking.
Uh-huh. Okay, how does it work?
Yeah.
Where did she come home drunk? Yes. So it turns out with A Course in Miracles, you never forgive something that happened. You never forgive something that's real. If you did, you would be lying to yourself.
Right.
Because forgiveness is letting go of the faults.
Like, it happened, but it doesn't matter.
Slow down. Whoa, slow down. You ready for this, Julie? You want to take it?
Mm-hmm.
It's about where you are. You conquered this.
It's
hard to teach it, though.
I think I know where you're going, but I can't say it. Yeah, I can't put it into words.
So what's happening for you is you're coming in to the realization that you can let it go and have peace, but still your habits are that it did happen. Okay? Well, it did happen in the world. It did happen in the world. But it did not have the power to hurt you. You have the power to hurt you over whatever happens with your daughter. Lots of things are going to happen with your daughter. A lot of them are completely out of your control.
Can I ask a question about this?
Yes.
So is the forgiveness, is the it didn't happen thing part of like we're our bodies, everything is an idea inside sort of awareness, and awareness is separate than this apparent.
Let's put another word on. I know where you're going. And so, yes, it comes with a shift, another miracle, okay, a major miracle. The biggest miracle of them all is what are you that it can happen to. So a shift occurs in awareness. You're saying awareness, okay? Let's go to lesson 97 and just look at what the course will bring you to that will allow you to afford to make this, it didn't happen. Didn't happen to what?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. So nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. So what's real is the love between you two, and what's not real is this call for love. There's this behavior and this example that's like, it doesn't define her.
Okay.
And your response doesn't define you.
Okay, so what has to happen is the miracle ahead of time before any of that even makes sense.
That's true.
Page 172.
I have a question.
Page 172. Yes.
The thing is, though, that it did happen.
It did happen! We got car wreckers, we got a police report.
It worries her as a parent.
We might have a crash car and worse, okay?
You can't ignore it.
You can't ignore it! It would be a lie if you did. What kind of parent ignores the parent came home, that the kid came home drunk?
No, you can't.
You can't do that!
It's gonna affect you.
Right away.
And to say that it's not real is.
It's just a lie. It is real.
It is real.
Of course it's real.
And it's going to affect you where, ego or not, it's going to affect you.
Your pocketbook, it'll affect your household.
You're worried for her.
I mean, those are all things, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We're not trying to deny the world.
I don't think she did anything wrong.
I have to agree. He did great. He thinks you held back inappropriately.
No.
Yeah. Oh,
I think she did the right thing, but I know that I know what she was going through.
Yeah. Okay, so A Course in Miracles.
I think it's super parenting what you just said.
Super parenting! Super parenting.
No more kudos there.
No more. Real versus true.
Real versus true is our discussion.
And here. True is the eternal. It's things that are not of this world. So
true is the love, and the other is the drama.
Yeah.
It's the illusion.
Yeah.
Yes, but I feel like it's hard because it goes back to how can you define something that you can't define. But for me, like, because sometimes I'll like leave a meeting and be like, why did I say that? And I'll just start playing the tape, and then I think I'll just have this single moment where I'm like, I don't need to play this tape. Like, whatever, right? It's done. Like, what's going to come of me playing this tape? And there's just, like, a letting go. But that's, like, forgiveness in this world. But to understand what is true would be, like, another level of the reality is that, like, this world was not created by God. It was created by our mind. And so I can play around in this world all I want and make it as beautiful or horrible as I want.
You can hear the Holy Spirit in Julie pushing through. You don't have the words yet, but they are
but
pushing
I'm getting it.
Through.
Yeah, Julie, you're giving me something actually really major.
No, I'm losing my train of thought.
Okay, so look.
I know you are.
Okay, but right there, right? You're just pushing through. You're that close. I know.
Can I share a little something of what I'm grasping?
Sure.
Okay. So I've got the world that I've created. Is I have this mood swing disorder that causes me to go up and down. Sometimes I lash out, and then I self-destruct, and then I, you know, it's like this reaction that happens, and I can't quite quench it fast enough. And what you're saying is, like, my mind has created, but that's not who I am. I know that I do that sometimes, and I don't like it, and I want to keep improving and make more and more awareness shifts so I don't have to live in that world as much or as frequently. But I know, and the reason why I can see that is because I know who I really am, which is connected to the Holy Spirit and being this loving, kind being that is just using this body right now to see through. But this thing inside is connected to everything else. Mm-hmm. And there's these moments of amazing grace that I want to live more of the time.
Yeah.
So the piece that you gave me around, like, the story of the mood swing disorder, that's just a part of the drama. That's a part of the world that I've created to try to manage the pain that sometimes I react in fear. And how I express fear a lot of the times is feels like a fight. And it's like I'm afraid of looking a certain way to other people or feeling a certain way about myself. And so what I'm starting to catch right now lately is that when I act in a way that I don't like or approve of, it's because of fear. And if I can start to manage my fear and really see that fear is an illusion and it's not real, it's just
one of the biggest
messy
ways,
life, you
what
know?
Julie was just touching on, was the biggest ways to manage the fear is to recognize that there is something that's not afraid.
Mm.
Always and never has been. In you all the time and present.
Oh, and identify good. With that instead.
And identify with that instead!
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, good. I like that.
Right in the same moment.
Connect to the thing that's not afraid. That's
what she was about to say.
Seen it once.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Julie. I didn't say it.
But she knows it's there. She knows it's there. And the book will support and try to show you that and reveal to you in the exact instant when you're in trouble.
Yeah, I wish I could understand you better, book. I wish you weren't so confused.
Look at me. First of all, look where we are. Did we all make it to lesson 97?
Right.
What's the title of this lesson? This is what allows you, by the way, if you're on this, you are approximately 800 pages into the teaching. 800 pages into the teaching.
173 in the workbook.
And you get to the workbook 173.
Sorry, 72.
And it's got a three-word title for you to spend all day meditating on. Very carefully, twice an hour, sit down and just think this. Take a breath. Put your world aside. And just think about this. With some support, with 96 other lessons in front of it, and then 700 pages of comforting text to try to buy your permission to even have these thoughts. It says, I am spirit. Spirit am I. And you say that with an easy out-breath. I am spirit. Damn, I knew it. But I couldn't afford it. Until now, to say that I'm spirit and know it, I couldn't afford it.
You know, I'm going to set this back a little bit, but what I got from the book so far is that the only thing I really need to forgive is that me or someone else doesn't feel connected to everything.
Yeah, if you are spirit, so is the other person.
Right.
Spirit doesn't have the boundaries that bodies do. Now you can say it didn't happen. Because on the level of spirit, things don't happen.
Yeah.
You don't kill even a spirit. We had somebody here dealing with an animal, but it's not here. And she had to put down a large animal that become kind of her responsibility, and it was suffering, but it could have lived who knows how much longer, but it's kind of the right thing to do. Uh-oh. We talked about it. And what she was worried about is spiritually something would go wrong if she killed that animal. On Tuesday at 2 o'clock, she thought it was a good time. What? You're going to kill something at 2 o'clock on Tuesday? But there was freedom came over her. Well, she realized, well, you can't kill spirit. What I'm thinking about is the spirit, not the body. Okay? That's one of your awakenings, one of your enlightenment episodes, is when you recognize that you are spirit. And spirit is free. Mm-hmm. And so in a couple more lessons, it starts running through this gamut of a not a body. Now, that kind of goes in hand. If you are spirit, then, okay, you're not a body.
And a spirit isn't in body. A body's in spirit.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, like a...
Which came first? What came first?
No, it's not like... the
body didn't come first, right? Spirit would have to come first.
I think of it as like, this is all... We're all spirit. We're probably all the same spirit.
Yeah.
It's just, right now, we're just put on this change of clothes for a little while,
yeah.
And we're going to look at some different eyes because it's interesting to have all this variety.
Your name's not even Leah.
Right.
Your mom made that up.
The name Leah is just sound frequency that matches everything.
Your mom's under some pressure to give you a name. She says, Leah.
Me and my mom.
And there you are. No! Your name's not Leah.
Right.
My name's a Star Wars
nameless.
Yeah. I'm spirit.
Well, it seems to me the body-spirit thing is the ego mind is that we're a body, and we maybe have a spirit or whatever, but we're really working with the world here. And there's, there's the, you know, we can go to church, or we can do this or that. But the other way, if we think of the reality, which is that we are spirits that happen to have bought these bodies, like you're saying, set of clothes.
Yeah, I just think that spirit must think these bodies are hilarious.
Absolutely. Like everything and not a problem.
I think it's probably serious.
So wild.
It's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
And horrible. And wonderful.
And horrible. Some of us here think horrible. I've had enough of that. I'm going to go back to the light side. Even now would be good. All right. Okay. So what other thing that Julie was swimming around and was and might have said, and I think she was going to say, is some of this metaphysical shift occurs in your mind about truth and what's valuable. All your values start to change when you find out that you're not a body. You're not, and you start to own those few moments through the workbook lessons, and you actually take an easy breath. Through some of the lessons, go, this, the authority with which it's telling me I'm free, I like. And then part of you is free in that moment, in that holy instant. Even though your life is loaded with all these problems once you close the book and go back to work, yet something was awoken you that's on the permanent side of things. And that's a spiritual awakening. And when it says, I'm spirit, you say, yeah, I am. So look at Miracle Principle 17 on page 4. Well, first let's read this paragraph. It's so beautiful. We can't come here without reading the first paragraph. Who's up the bat? New girl? Good. What's your name?
Joelle.
Joelle, yes, that's right.
I am spirit. Today's idea identifies you with your one self.
Yeah, capital S, right? There's lots of self in this book, but small s. You got that. Go ahead.
It accepts no split identity, nor tries to weave opposing factors into unity. It simply speaks the truth. Practice this truth today as often as you can, for it will bring your mind from conflict to the quiet fields of peace. No chill of fear can enter, for your mind has been absolved from madness, letting go illusions of the split identity.
You know, that is really nice. And it's quite an invitation for you. But there's more. It goes even further with this book. Brother John, would you read the next paragraph?
Restate again the truth about yourself, the Holy Son of God, who rests in you.
Wow, so not only are you spirit, which seems like it wouldn't have the problems of a body. Okay, that's good. But, furthermore, you are the Son of God.
Doesn't that just mean that you're a creator?
Or just you're an extension of, as a son of, you're therefore, your inheritance includes the whole estate.
Uh-huh.
And God's a creator, so are you.
Right, okay.
Good, please continue.
Where mind has been restored to sanity. We state again the truth about yourself, the Holy Son of God, who rests in you, whose mind has been restored to sanity. You are the Spirit lovingly endowed with all your Father's love and peace and joy. You are the Spirit which completes Himself and shares His function as Creator. He is with you always as you are with Him.
So there's your job description. There's your true identity. There's your home. But wait, there's more. Ben?
Today, we try to bring reality still closer to your mind. Each time you practice, awareness is brought a little nearer. At least sometimes 1,000 years or more are saved. The minutes which you give are multiplied over and over, for the miracle makes use of them, but is not ruled by it. Salvation is
for the miracle makes use of time. Wow, big clue.
Salvation is.
But it's not. I'm just rereading what you wrote because you skipped over it.
Did I?
Yeah. For the miracle makes use of time, comma, but is not ruled by time. Please continue.
Okay. Salvation is a miracle, the first and last, the first that is the last, for it is one.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so, and then it goes on. It continues to help you understand that you are spirit. would you read for us the italics on the next page? Now, so on page 173, there's some italics here. You're going to exercise with this phrase on the next page, please.
Spirit am I, a holy son of God, free of all limits, safe and healed and whole, free to forgive and free to save the world.
Yeah!
That's lovely.
Now you're free to forgive. Now it didn't happen.
In italics.
To you.
I don't understand, though. Salvation is a miracle, the first and last, the first that is the last, for it is one.
Yeah, because salvation is correction in this book.
Okay.
So the correction is from false to true. That would be salvation of you, saving you from being a lowly, water-filled sack of 120 pounds.
What is the first and last, and the first that is last, for it is one?
Because you're so addicted to time. And that's actually a phrase from the Bible, so it's playing with. If there's 818 references to the Bible in here for people who
really
need
like
that.
The Bible.
Yeah. And so that's playing with some of the words from the Bible. But nonetheless, it works here for we who are so addicted to time.
I see.
So it can be helpful there in your meditation. Now, if you actually can breathe an easy thought with I am spirit, you can say that it didn't happen. The daughter coming home drinking. Hey, listen, we all know how serious that is. I don't know if her daughter's going to make it through next week. Neither does she. That's how damn serious that is.
So that's a level thing.
On that level, thank you very much. It's a level thing. Okay, which is another one of the metaphysics of A Course in Miracles, is that as you start to separate yourself from your ego, you can start to glimpse the safety and security and love and joy of the spiritual level of your being.
So you're totally safe, but you can play the roles. You can do whatever you have to do in this apparent world.
Yes.
But you are completely unaffected at another level because you're a spirit. And you can more play it as a game.
Be in the world, but not of the world.
Be in the world, but not of the world. You're actually safe in reality. Remember, her name's not Leah. And it says 1,000 years in here. So if that works for you...
So, like, if Matt dies, I don't really lose him.
No.
Right.
In a way, you can't even gain him until he dies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, when this is comfortable for you, and this really arrives, then you can say that statement didn't happen. And it's a sense of truth has occurred, and it allows you to forgive. Not her. Drunk driving, more costs that she's going to call. Oh, no. You got work to do there on this material level as a mother. But you, on the other hand, this thought can deliver you complete freedom. And no guilt. No more guilt if you're spirit. The spirit is just so loving, and the spirit is able to coast through this whole thing, ups and downs included, with a sense of peace and strength that the mother who has to fight her way through it could really use and did use. You pulled on your spiritual strength to bite your lip, knowing it was the right thing to do and unnecessary to have all that other noise.
And
you did. You really did. Yes.
And we rely on when we rely on ourselves as spirit.
Yes.
Which we can do without having salvation.
Uh-huh.
We can no longer, and I yearn for this, no longer feel like a victim, a persecutor, or
what
caregivers.
Without lying.
Without lying.
Without lying to yourself. That's when forgiveness fails. Is when you lie to yourself and say it didn't happen or that it's not important. It's okay you hurt me. It's okay that you completely disregarded my stuff. You said you'd never touch and you did. That's okay. That's lying. That's not forgiveness. That's not love at all. Right? But when you discover this light in you as a capital S self dawns on you as real, which it has in Julie, She is abandoning her old ways as fast as she can catch them. She's letting them go out of that woman's liberation. She's being reborn. Cecily has been reborn. She's found a strength in her and a power in her to call on peace and calmness in really tough situations. But you know what? She likes it. She's not quitting. It's the new you. It's the real you. So one more metaphysical statement on this before we end the meeting. Turn to Miracle Principle 17 in the front of the book. It's one of these bombs that gets dropped on you that will make no sense at all until you've been doing it for a while, and then it makes all the sense. It's like sums up the metaphysics. It seems so obvious. But boy, is it a bunch of fighting words until you have some enlightenment moments. Page 4 in the front of the book. 17. Then there's 5 or 6 miracles that... This one's just the shortest one that says this. It says, miracles... Remember a miracle? That is the shift in perception in your mind from false to true. Where you see things differently. You see what's really going on. From a holy perspective instead of from an unholy or ego perspective. That's what a miracle is. So, when the Holy Spirit is using your eyes, then you will have a miracle, shift in perception about the same situation that was so difficult. So, miracles transcend the body. On page 4 in the front of the book. Miracles transcend the body. Miracles are sudden shifts into invisibility, away from the bodily level.
Invisibility and invulnerability, right?
Yes, because the body is vulnerable. The body is a level of vulnerability and loss. So a miracle would have to be when you're moving yourself to the capital S cell, to the spirit. The spirit thing that got born in you somehow, some way. And you won't, most people don't even know when it happens. But at some point you found the spirit, this light lit up in you, and you say, I am not a body. I've never been a body. My name is not Leah. When that happens, you don't exactly know what triggered it. But when you own it, it's like taking a step up. You know, it's like climbing the top of the hill and seeing there's a lake on the other side. You lived your whole life in this valley. You didn't even know there was a lake over there. But you do now. There ain't no going back.
It's like being one step on the bridge towards the other side.
That's right. You get to the hump in the bridge, you can actually see the other side. You can't go back from that. Wait a minute. I could actually go. It's the same work to continue as it is to go back. Huge freedom occurs. Huge, huge freedom. But you know what? It's an experience that denies words. But man, you know it when you own it. So it says miracles transcend the body. There are sudden shifts into invisibility away from the bodily level. That is why they heal. Well, they're not healing the body. We just shifted away from it. That's healing the mind. Even the mind that's holding the body is healed. So now it doesn't feel the suffering. Before it was everything. Mm-hmm. The suffering now is just a choice. The pain is part of the program. But the suffering now is a choice. And that's huge. That's the spiritual awakening. The suffering's a choice. Sometimes you don't suffer. The pain may still be there, but I know. She's tough, kid. She's drinking and driving now. That's painful. We're all feeling it. But the suffering, you're going to have to make a decision on how much you want to suffer. And then you'll get exactly that much. Exactly.
No, when I have a negative feeling, whether pain or otherwise, mostly otherwise, I have found that if I go from sad or shame or anger or whatever, underneath all that is fear.
Yes. It's a great discovery. You really can. Let's have a circle. You can trace that discomfort down to fear.
Could I say something?
Yeah, please do.
I just want to acknowledge this group here and comment to you, Dan, also about your question of what is the medicine. Because to me, it's not just the book. Mm-hmm. It's 5 years ago when I came to this room, I was with a pregnant daughter who was having a prenatal psychosis. So and the relationship was crazy. She was crazy. And I, every morning, my bed happened to face the rising sun. And I just went, all I can do is bring in frequency. And after weeks, you know, it's tiring. I went, okay, I need a place where I can have buoyancy. And you happen to put a bunch of ads in. There were everywhere those ones. Horse Miracles. There were other ones too, but the room with a bunch of pillows around it, I said, that's my kind of place. Mm. And I feel it still. It's so good to be back. And to me, the medicine is also the buoyancy of striving souls to wake up and to get out of this material-based consciousness and reawaken into our true selves, with a capital F. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And thank you.
Righteous.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Thank you.